Today I like to do character studies sometimes and learn and teach and apply things that we can learn from a character. And this week I chose the man Hezekiah. Now, in today's world, we face a lot of opposition to the church. We face a lot of opposition to the truth. Hezekiah was a man that was a religious reformer. He was different. He went against the grain, it seems. You see, Israel was full of idolatry. Israel, and Judah specifically, was in dire straits. God was sending prophets to them, telling them of their imminent captivity, that they would be carried off and their nation would be taken away and wiped out. It had just happened that the Assyrians wiped out the northern 10 tribes and carried them all away into captivity. And now God is sending men, prophets like Isaiah, warning Judah that the same is going to happen to them if they don't change, if they don't reform the way, their ways, religiously speaking, in terms of worship to God. And Hezekiah in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 3, is our context this morning. Hezekiah, he's described as this: he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that David, his father, had done. You know, it's hard for us to go against the grain. While the government is focused on redefining what a man and a woman is, while the government, it seems, is setting up policies and laws to make it legal for transgenders and homosexuality and sodomy, we, the church, are going against that grain, while the nation's institutions, like the education system, the different and various levels of government, pass laws and try to seek ways to diminish the truth about God and the creation of man and woman and their roles as in the family, as the government tries to redefine those roles and redefine what a family is and redefine what a child is. We have to understand that we have to go against that grain. We have to stand for the truth. Hezekiah lived in a time like this. Hezekiah was a religious reformer. He reformed the religion of the nation of Judah from idolatry to one that would worship the one true God, the same God that we worship today. 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 4 through 8. If you'd like to turn with me there. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 4, beginning. It says, "He removed the high places and broke the pillars and cut down the Asherah. He broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made, until those days the people of Israel had made offerings to it. It was called the Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that there was none like him among all the kings of Judah after him, nor among those who were before him, for he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept the commandments that the Lord commanded Moses, and the Lord was with him wherever he went. He prospered. He rebelled against the king of Assyria, would not serve him. He struck down the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory, from watchtower to fortified city." A few notes. First and foremost, Hezekiah trusted the Lord, that the Lord would uphold him in this religious reform. Those that would oppose Hezekiah trusted that the Lord would cause change in their country, that he would turn the hearts of men back to God because of the actions and the leadership that Hezekiah showed. He trusted the Lord. He followed the Lord and kept his commandments. He was meticulous in his study. He made sure that he followed what the prophet said and what the scriptures revealed to Moses concerning their religious doctrine. And the things that are taught in scripture, he followed wholeheartedly. This is the kind of man that Hezekiah was. It says the Lord was with him. You see, the connection that Hezekiah had with God was from the heart. And God was with him. God supported him. and prospered him. And I don't mean monetarily. I don't mean he was a big wealthy king. Perhaps he was. But God prospered him spiritually and caused great reform to happen in Judah because of the leadership and the actions that Hezekiah took. Hezekiah didn't just sit up on a pedestal and say, well, I declare these religious reforms. Hezekiah was out front leading the charge, cutting down the Asherah, cutting down and breaking into pieces the Nehushtan. I can't say that word. The serpent that Moses had set up. Remember that bronze serpent? When all the nation was being inflicted by God because of their wickedness. And Moses set up a bronze serpent. Well, they had been up until this time making sacrifice to that bronze serpent as if it had some kind of power. Hezekiah was out front and he tore it down and broke it into pieces. He restored worshiping God. He led from the front. He didn't just tell people. What else did he do? Well, Judah, you see, was serving Assyria. They were subservient. They were following the ways of Assyria. And Hezekiah says, we're not going to do that anymore. We're not going to follow their gods. We're not going to follow their idolatry. We're going to break ties with Assyria and serve them no more. We won't serve their king, worship of their king. We will not do these things any longer. The church today, brothers and sisters, is under attack. The church in this country is under attack. You may not see guns and tanks lined up beside the church buildings, but I assure you, there is a spiritual battle, and we're inflicting casualties inside of the church. We are looking and observing in a time when our children are being indoctrinated with sinful practice and sinful thoughts and ideas. It's an idea warfare. They want to change your children's future, and I don't mean in a good way. They want to change their lifestyle. They want to change the way they think, away from God and toward the world. If you haven't experienced that, you will very soon. It will be up close and personal. It's happening in the workplace with companies and corporations that invoke this woke ideology. And then their advertising is affected, and you see brands that are now promoting transgenderism. And you see clothing and apparel lines, and you see all these different companies that are promoting as if it's an alternative lifestyle, as if it's acceptable and pleasing. And I assure you, God said homosexuals will have their place in the lake of fire. And God will not tolerate sodomy, will not tolerate homosexuality. And God is the judge, and we are the messengers. And yes, we have to take that message to places that you may not want to visit, you may not want to go. We must stand on the pillar of truth that you may not feel comfortable making that stand. And I appreciate people like Kayla and Andrew that stand up for the truth. And I'm encouraged that they want to take a stand. And I know there are many in this congregation that take that stand. My slides are not working very well. Hezekiah was not flawless. He made mistakes. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 13. In the 14th year, King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified city of Judah and took them. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria at Lachish, saying, I have done wrong, withdraw from me. Whatever you impose on me, I will bear. The king of Assyria required of Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord, and then the treasuries of the king's house. At that time, Hezekiah stripped the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the doorpost that Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria sent Tartan, the Rabsaris, and the Rabshakeh with a great army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. And they went up and came to Jerusalem, and when they arrived, they came and stood at the conduit of the upper pool, which is on the highway to the washer's field. And when they had called for the king, there came out Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shebna the secretary, and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder. Hezekiah took from the treasuries inside the temple the silver. He took the gold that was overlaying the doors and gave it to Sennacherib. He never went and inquired from the Lord what he should do. He just went and did, paying that tribute. The king of Assyria responded by sending an army. You see, he was still in rebellion. He still didn't want to serve Assyria. Hezekiah should have consulted with the Lord first and then taken action based on God's message. Now, that's not to say it was a terrible mistake. God was still patient with Hezekiah. God still looked at Hezekiah as a righteous man. But I just wanted to point out, he wasn't perfect. Hezekiah prays to God. He realizes he needs to inquire of the Lord. Sometimes when we do things, we do it rashly. Sometimes we take action without caution. Sometimes we don't walk circumspectly in wisdom. Instead, we should spend time studying and thinking about what God would have us to do. We need to spend time in prayer, seeking His counsel and His wisdom. Hezekiah sent to Isaiah after this army comes to his gate, it seems, to inquire of the Lord what to do about this massive army that shows up in Jerusalem and in all the fortified cities of Judah. Isaiah reassures Hezekiah, the Lord will deliver Judah and Jerusalem from the Assyrians. Hezekiah goes to the house of the Lord. He received a letter from Sennacherib threatening him, saying, "Don't think you're going to be delivered." The letter stated that Judah would be overtaken by the Assyrians, just like all the nations around them, making a threat. Sometimes we in the church, we receive bad news. Sometimes we receive a threat. Well, if you don't agree to transgender idolatry, then you're an outcast. We're going to cast you out of the social network, the social platform that you're on. We're going to ban you from these different social media platforms because you don't ascribe to this ideology. You see how they work? They try to persecute. They try to sniff out Christians and erase or eliminate their ideas or the possibility of spreading God's message. Hezekiah turned to the Lord. Isaiah prophesied God would deliver Judah from Assyria. Here's his part of his prophecy. He said, "He shall not come into the city or shoot an arrow there, or come before it with shield or cast up a siege mound against it." That night an angel from God was sent and destroyed, killed 185,000 Assyrians. The remainder of the army, what was left of the Assyrians, they returned back to Assyria. Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, was struck down by two of his sons, verses 29 through 35. And another son reigned in Sennacherib's place. The things that Sennacherib threatened, the letter, none of those came about by Assyria. God was empowering another empire that would eliminate Judah, that is Babylon. But it would not be Assyria, who took the northern 10 tribes into captivity. Hezekiah's own health. He loses his health. He becomes sick to the point of death. He's on death's bed. Comes to him and says, "Hezekiah, put your house in order. The Lord says you are going to die." There was no question. He was at death's door and God had declared it. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. Oftentimes we are inflicted physically. Oftentimes we have sickness or age. Oftentimes some of our friends or relatives may be sick or at the point of death. Hezekiah didn't stop being a man of God. Hezekiah didn't give up and say, "Oh, well, all is lost. I'm going to die." He didn't give up hope. What did he do? Hezekiah once again goes to God in prayer. He points out to God that he had been a good and faithful servant. And more importantly, he wept bitterly. That godly sorrow we see. He entreated the Lord with his emotions. He entreated the Lord with his prayers and supplications. He made it known to the Lord what was weighing him down. We have to go to God in prayer and let God know our prayers and supplications. What's weighing us down in our lives, be it sin or temptation, be it persecution, be it things that we encounter at work or our boss, be it things at school, be it things in our family. We have to let God know in prayer. God wants our prayers. God expects us to pray to Him. He will lift the burden weighing you down. God is far more capable than most of us comprehend. God loves us. God looks out for us, just like He was looking out for Hezekiah. Why God allowed him to become sick? Well, time and chance happen to all of us. Sickness and disease and death will happen to all of us. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 through 28. For it is appointed once for man to die. Then comes the judgment. All of us are going to make that appointment with death. All of us. Even Hezekiah. God didn't forget Hezekiah. God didn't just overlook his life of service, his life of faith in him. God grants his prayer. He tells Isaiah, go back to Hezekiah and deliver a message. God heard his prayer, saw his tears. God understood Hezekiah's weeping. Sometimes we think, well, does God feel our emotions? Does God understand what weighs us down? Well, this is proof in the context. God does relate to us. He understands what causes our sadness and our fear. He understands what weighs us down spiritually and physically. And He cares. He wants to help us. He's looking for ways to help us. But we must first seek Him. We must first let Him know our prayers. Then God will help us. Why does He do it that way? Why doesn't God just automatically help us when we're sick? Why doesn't God just automatically heal us when we have a disease? Why does God let bad things happen to us? I've heard that many times. Why does God let suffering of little children happen in this world? Why does God weigh us down with trials? Why does God allow those things to happen? He's testing our faith, isn't He? He's letting us know that He's in charge. He is the King. He rules over every aspect of our lives, from our health, from our spirituality, from our relationships of our family, from our school systems and our church and our government. He's in control, not us. God is a fantastic teacher. God is a wonderful leader and friend. God is in total, absolute control. He's not a dictator. He's our friend, our companion in times of trouble. And if our faith benefits when we go through a trial, if our faith increases, that's God causing the increase. And God bless you if you endure a trial and your faith is increased, because it's from God. Hezekiah, it seems, grew by leaps and bounds in his faith because of this trial, this sickness that he endured. This weeping bitterly, he's laying out his problems to God. He's opening up and showing he's vulnerable to God. Knowing God's in control. Do you have those kind of prayers? Do you have those kind of talks with God in private? where you lay it everything out before God, everything that troubles you, everything that weighs you down, every sin, every temptation. Do you approach God the way Hezekiah did? I implore you, think about the lesson of Hezekiah, how he approached God when he was told he was going to die. Because brothers and sisters in Christ, God has declared every one of us is going to die. Yeah, it might be a few years from now, might be a couple decades from now, but you and I, we are going to die, just like Hezekiah. Now, God granted Hezekiah 15 more years to live. Do you think Hezekiah forgot that? If God said to you, Mike, and I'm using you as an example, I'm not saying this is true. If God came to you and said, Mike, I grant you 15 more years of life, I don't think Mike would ever forget that. And he would serve God every one of those 15 years. Well, God's declared to Cody, He's declared to you, you've only got so much more time on this earth, and you need to serve God. You need to lay out your requests before God and weep bitterly where you fall short, where you have sin, and where you face trial and temptation. Make that known to God, because it will increase your faith, and you will benefit as a Christian because of that trial, because that burden is lifted off of you. You see, death was at his door, and God lifted that off of his shoulders, and it didn't weigh him down for 15 more years. That's pretty neat, isn't it? And Hezekiah knew that. And Hezekiah led, as a man of God, the nation of Judah out of tyranny of Assyria and led them back towards God. Does that have that kind of effect in your life? Do you give up sin and give up the trials and the burdens of this life and lead yourself and your family and your friends toward Christ? Because that's what Hezekiah did. That's what Hezekiah was about. And it wasn't some kind of heartless, mechanical obedience. Hezekiah loved the Lord with all his heart. Hezekiah obeyed with compassion, loving his fellow countrymen and wanting them to live, not to die. Wanting them to seek life in eternal judgment. He cared for his people. He loved his family. He loved the Lord. The whole life of Hezekiah is all about love. God's love for him and his love for God. Hezekiah asked for a sign. O Lord, show me a sign. Have you ever prayed that? Show me that you care, O Lord. Teach me your ways. This sounds a lot like the psalm. Isaiah gives him a choice. The shadow could go back 10 steps or forward 10 steps. You choose, Hezekiah. Which way will the shadow go? Hezekiah asked for a sign that the shadow go back 10 steps by which it had gone down on the steps of Ahaz. And I don't know if that means literally the steps of Ahaz or 10 degrees. There is some translation there that I don't fully comprehend, but that's what it says. It goes back 10 steps on the steps of Ahaz, which the Lord caused to happen on the third day. 2 Kings 20, verses 8 through 11. You want proof? You want to know for sure that there is a God? You want to know for sure that you're putting your faith and your trust in the ultimate power in the universe is worth it? Take this as a sign. The sign that Hezekiah asked for. Proof. Evidence. This really happened. It's not just some fictional story. It really did happen. God can cause us to reflect back on our life. Go back 10 steps and think about the decisions that you made. He can cause us to think about the choices and the direction of our life. Reflect on those. Think about what you have done and where you have been. Who you have been with. Think on those things. Go back 10 steps and rethink what you should have done. Rethink who you should have been with. Rethink where you should be spending your time. Reflect on those things. Hezekiah did. And I'm using that as a metaphor, I know. Think about your life and what direction you're in. Take 10 steps back and reflect on where you should be in terms of your spiritual life with God. Think back about your choices. Think back about the mistakes that you've made. God has granted you more time to correct those things and make it right in His sight. He has granted you more time to repent of that sin. He's granted you more time to learn from those trials and to increase your faith. These are some of the lessons that we can learn from Hezekiah. Some interesting things about Hezekiah. Again, this is more of a character study. Hezekiah built the pool and the conduit inside the city of Jerusalem. He is well known, he is famous for this in other circles as well as in the church. Verses 12 through 20 of 2 Kings chapter 20. I tried to show a picture up here of the pool, if I can get this to work. Here's the pool right here. And there's a conduit that feeds it with water. This pool that Hezekiah built, or caused to be built, held an estimated 3 million gallons, 3 million U.S. gallons of water. It was inside of the city. There were actually, I believe, three pools. This was one of the three pools that they could draw fresh water in case an army came and besieged the city. In case they were militarily hemmed into the city walls, they had a ready source of fresh water. The pool and the conduit was built around 700 B.C. by King Hezekiah, according to 2 Kings 18, verse 17, and 2 Kings 20, verse 20. This is an older picture from the 1800s. Today, this pool is dry, and there's really not much there. But in those passages, the messengers from King Sennacherib met with the representatives of King Hezekiah at the near the conduit at the pool that Hezekiah had built. So I thought that was interesting that they met at that place that he had built. Some lessons that we can learn. Those who are physically sick, spiritually sick, or hurting, we should pray like Hezekiah prayed. God is the giver of life. God is the giver of health, both physical and spiritual health. If you're struggling spiritually, pray to God. If you're struggling physically, pray. If you know others who are struggling spiritually or others who are physically sick, pray for them. Mention them by name. Make it known to God, and God will grant the increase. God is also patient with us. Even when we make mistakes, even when we fall short, God is still patient with us. He wants us to go to heaven. He wants us to obey Him from the heart. When we fail, go back to God, repent of those things, and pray, just like Hezekiah did. God is in control of all the nations. Sometimes we think, oh, well, the government's out of my control. I don't get a say in our government. I don't get a say in who's our leaders. Well, you can pray about it because God is in control. God can tear down a leader just like He did Sennacherib. You see, when Sennacherib threatened Judah and God said He will not even shoot an arrow here or build up a siege wall. In fact, He's going to go back to His own country and He's going to die. God can take down leaders just as well as God can set up leaders like Hezekiah. Judah, the nation, was spared because a godly man like Hezekiah prayed. Assyria was at their doorstep with a massive army and could have wiped them off the face of the earth. That's a fact. The Assyrians did so to the northern 10 tribes. There was sufficient evidence for me to believe God saved Judah because of a man like Hezekiah. Maybe it prolonged things, but I believe the religious reforms that he put in and the leadership and the godly character that Hezekiah showed delayed God's destruction of Judah, an idolatrous nation, an adulterous nation who sought after other gods in adultery, spiritual adultery, away from God. faithful men and women working in God's kingdom can save many people who are lost. Save many from sin and certain death. And I'm talking about eternal or spiritual death. Seeking God's first and His righteousness, despite everything going on in this country, is what your life should consist of. Matthew 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things, all the other carnal things that we look at and consider will be added to us because we seek God first. When we are sick, when we're at the point of death, when we are in fear of our very lives, if we're persecuted, seek God first. Like Hezekiah, because He is in control. The faithful life that we lead does make a difference in God's kingdom. It makes a difference with God. That's the important thing. God notices when we are faithful. He writes our name down in a book. It's called the Book of Life. God notices our good and faithfulness towards Him. God takes note of our name, individual names. He invites you to put your name in the Book of Life through obedience in baptism. God asks everyone to repent of their sins and turn to Him so that He can add your name to the Book of Life. The little things that we do in faith, the little details like doctrine, the little things that we pay attention to in Scripture, God rewards those who diligently seek Him, even in the small things. Turn, if you will, to Hebrews 11, verse 6. Probably one of the third or fourth most quoted passages. And without Him, and without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Some translations say those who diligently seek Him. When things go against us and we are faithful, we must humble ourselves, just like Hezekiah. Things went against him. Hezekiah humbled himself before God. He went to God in prayer and he completely and totally trusted in God. With his very life and with his countrymen. Do you trust in God with your life? Do you put Him first in every decision and in every action that you take? Sometimes we may feel overwhelmed or helpless. Sometimes we feel like we're alone without a friend. But God is always by our side. You see, God is faithful to us as well. He will help you prosper spiritually if we are obedient to His Word. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 assures us, "For we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." If you are working for the purpose of the Lord, God will cause the increase spiritually, physically, and will save you in the end. And will cause great good to come about by your actions and your faith. This morning, if you are not a Christian, you're invited to come up here in just a moment as we sing, to give your life to Christ in baptism, putting on Christ. Galatians 3, verse 27 says, "For as many have been baptized, have put on Christ." You can repent of your sin, you can confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and make Him King of your life by being baptized, just like Jesus was. If you are a Christian, if you have sin in your life, if you have fallen short, or perhaps you're facing some difficult trial, we can pray with you and pray for you that God would help you in that circumstance, or He would forgive you if you have sin. If you're in any way subject to the gospel call, please come forward now as we stand and sing.